Romans chapter 5, and we have been studying in Romans chapter 5 on having a solid foundation in your life and having a deep, solid, well-grounded assurance of your salvation. Many times I say, do you have a Bible reason to be 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven with a Bible reason? And you can have Bible reasons why you're going to heaven, but you have to have a full assurance of understanding. And as we look at the book of Romans, God lays down the foundation for our faith, and then he builds upon that foundation so that we can know that we can know that we have eternal life, that we are going to be forever with the Lord in glory, and we're going to be finally and fully saved when our salvation is complete, when our bodies are glorified, and we're going to be with the Lord. And nothing in this life can stand in the way of that. And sometimes people come to church and they are here for a little while and then they leave, and they might say, oh, pastor, he's preaching on politics again. I'm going to stay away till he's done with that. Well, you know, that's pretty stupid. I'll tell you why that's stupid, because every sermon has a purpose and every meal has a purpose. And God is the one who holds the pastors in his hands. And if the pastor's in the Word and the pastor knows the people of God and he knows the Lord, you're going to get what you need, you see. But you got to stay here. And people will miss a sermon like I'm going to preach tonight because they say, oh, he's going to preach this, so I'll just skip until Sunday and then I'll come back. No, you hurt yourself. And you hinder your growth and your stability and your being a strong believer. God wants you to be strong. He wants you to have a deep, well-grounded assurance. He doesn't want you to be doubting and fearing all the time about your salvation. But sometimes people do that because they don't have a full assurance of understanding. So we've been studying this in Romans, and in chapter 5, it says that in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at what justification is, and we've said it's God declaring us 100% righteous in his sight because of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, that he paid for our sins and that he lived a perfect life for us. And that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us, then God declares us 100% righteous through simple faith. And because of that, God says, because of that, you're not only going to heaven, you're not only 100% righteous in my sight, but there are a number of other blessings that you have that are true of you just by virtue of the fact that you are justified. And we need to learn how to think those things through and to count up our riches in Christ and to understand what it is to be justified. And then we saw one of the great blessings of being justified is to have union with Christ. Because we were united to Adam, we had sin, original sin. We were condemned to death. We're condemned to hell. And we're in a mess. And it's all because of Adam. And people don't like that. It was all because of Adam that I was condemned to death and condemned to hell. Yes, that's true. Original sin. And because of Adam's sin, I have been separated from God. And all of that is true. But then because of your union with Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Because of your union with Jesus Christ, you have all of these blessings that he's talking about here in Romans 5:12 through the end of the chapter. Now, he's finished talking about our union with Christ and that we have this wonderful assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God and being in his family because we have union with Christ. Nothing can keep us from sharing in the life of God. We don't lose it. We have all of that. And at verse 19 of chapter 5, he's ending that. He's ending all of that discussion. But then he adds two more verses, and he's like, I've got to share these two more verses. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight, the postscript on the place of the law in the arguments for assurance of our salvation. In other words, what place does the law have in all of this that God has done for us through Christ, through the last Adam? What about the law? What do we think about the law? And I'd like to look at this in chapter 5. Go to verse 20, and I'll read it. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." So what is he talking about here when he says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound"? Let me just say, he's only going to speak of this on one verse here in chapter 5, but it's going to be taken up in chapter 7. And all of chapter 7 deals with this matter of the law of God. And when he talks about the law of God, the Jewish person had a problem because the Jewish person had been given the law, not just the moral law, but the sacrificial law, the ceremonial law. He was also given not only that, but the social law for the Jewish people. It was all from God. It was their constitution. It was their legal system. And so only the Jewish nation had this wonderful law of God given to them, and so they had a problem with just being justified by simple grace through faith, not including circumcision, which was part of the law, not including keeping the law. It was just simply by grace through faith, and these people that didn't have a religious background, they didn't have a Jewish background, suddenly now they're justified. Suddenly now they're in the family of God. And you know what? God can do that. Amen? God can bring people into our church. They're strangers. They don't know anything about church. They haven't been brought up in a Christian home. Miss Angela can thank God she's been brought up now in a Christian home. But her family was a bus family, and they came from the outside in. And you know what? That's what was going on in this time, that people were getting saved, and they were getting baptized, and they're being blessed and being part of the church. And so the Jewish person said, "Well, what about the law of God? What does that do for us?" And so the Apostle Paul, in verse 20, he's explained justification. He's explained union with Christ. And now he's saying, you know, you have these blessings, and you have this union with Christ, but what about the law? Did that contribute in any way to your justification? And so the thing that is very clear here is that the law of God did not justify us. Notice what it says in verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Now, I want to look that word entered. You've seen that word before. Go back to verse 12, and it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That was a horrible thing when sin got in. Of course, Satan brought it in, didn't he? There's always somebody trying to get you to sin, tempt you to sin, and sin enters in, and when you give in to sin, death, destruction always follows. And yet this word entered here in verse 20 is a little different than the word entered in verse 12, because in verse 20, the word has a word called para in front of it. And the word para means to enter in alongside. And so what this is saying is that when sin entered through Adam into the world, of course, death came in as a result of sin, but alongside of that, the law entered in, the law of God. God had the law enter in alongside of sin. And so this law entered beside sin, which had already entered through Adam. Now, what's he saying here? The law is not fundamental to our being justified. We're not justified by keeping the law. The law didn't justify. By the way, did the law condemn us? Not really. Not really, not the law given to Moses. What condemned us? Adam's sin condemned us. His disobedience to God condemned us when he took the forbidden fruit. And so sin entered in through Adam. And so really, the law of God did not originally condemn us. as such. And the law of God does not justify, but the law of God comes in alongside. Now, the purpose of this is to introduce the purpose of the law of God. He's going to take this up in chapter 7, and he's going to explain more about the law of God. But the question is, what does Paul mean by this fact of the law of God? And number two is, the law of God did not justify us. It did not even condemn us to death. So it was Adam's sin that condemned us to death. It was Adam's sin that made us guilty. Originally, we were counted guilty from Adam's sin. And how are we counted righteous? Through the obedience of the last Adam. God said, I'm going to give you another Adam. I'm going to be born as a little baby. I'm going to grow up to be a man. I'm not going to sin one time. I'm going to keep the law of God, and I'm going to die and pay for the curse of sin and rise from the dead. And those that put their faith in the last Adam, they're going to be counted perfect in my sight. They're going to be counted righteous. They're going to be given eternal life. Now, the law of God didn't do that. It was the last Adam that did that. And now you're united to the last Adam through simple faith. And so he is saying here in chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So the law didn't condemn us. The law doesn't justify us. Well, what's the purpose of the law then? Why is the law entered? He says it in verse 20, that what? Well, you got part of that. That's the second part. The law entered that the offense might abound. So the purpose of the law is that this thing called sin, which entered through Adam, it might be really shown for what it is. It's not to save us. It's not even to condemn us. Adam already did that. It's that we might know a lot more about sin. And that's something that's lacking today in the United States of America. That's something that's lacking today in preaching and in explaining things. And we need to know more about this law of God. And so we're looking at, what does Paul mean by the law entered? It came in alongside, and we talked about that. Now, what is the object of the law of God? It was not intended ever to save us. But sometimes people are hoping to be saved by the law of God. To be saved, you've got to give up any hope of being saved by the law of God. The Bible's very clear in Romans 3:20. It says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So it's not going to ever justify anybody. Matt was raised in a Christian home, right, Matt? And he was taught the law of God. He was taught the word of God. But Matt was not justified by his knowledge of the teaching of the commandments of God. I was brought up where every Sunday I heard the Ten Commandments read in our church. And the pastor would read it every Sunday, and I heard the law of God, but I was not saved by keeping the law of God. In fact, I remember hearing every Sunday the law of God taught, and our pastor would read it, and he would say, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And I remember hearing that, and I tried to be justified by keeping that command, because that was the one command that it said, the Lord will not hold him guiltless. So I said, man, I don't want to be held guilty, so I will not swear. I will not say God, D-A-M. I will not say Jesus Christ's name in vain. I will be careful, and I was careful not to do that. Did that justify me? No kind of way. Was I saved? No kind of way. I just had the law of God, and I needed to understand. I didn't understand it at the time that it does not justify me. If there's any child here, any teenager here, any adult here, you think because you know the Bible, you think you know Scripture and you can memorize Scripture, you think that you may try to keep what the Bible says and you hope that because of that you're going to go to heaven, you're not going to make it. The law was not ever meant by you obeying the law that you would help get yourself to heaven. You will still die. You will still go to hell. You will still pay for your sins. And so it's very important to understand that. And many kids from a Christian home, they have a hard time getting a hold of that, that God never gave Israel the law of God on Mount Sinai so that they could keep the law of God. And if they kept the law of God, they would have eternal life. There's no way. In fact, the Bible says that if we could have eternal life by keeping the law, God would have done it that way. Amen? It would have been a lot easier for God. In fact, it says in Galatians 3:21, is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. It would have been a lot easier. Amen? For God. But God said, nope, there's no way. I could give you the law till you're blue in the face. It's not going to change your heart. It's not going to make you right with God, and you're not going to get saved that way. And so that is the first thing we need to understand. The second thing, when it says the law came in, it entered in alongside, was that it was intended to increase your knowledge of sin. Look what it says there. In Romans chapter 3, first of all, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. And so God is saying here that the law entered in order that you might pinpoint what sin is. And that you might understand what sin is. As I mentioned, I heard the Ten Commandments every Sunday, and I knew swearing was wrong. I knew taking the Lord's name in vain was wrong. Now, I took that wrong. I thought, if I avoid that, I'll be right with God. But at least I understood a little bit about what sin was. And so the law of God and understanding the law of God helps us to understand what sin is, and we need to know what sin is all about. God wants us to understand what sin is all about. And number three, the law couldn't justify us. The law helped us to understand and define what sin is in our life. But number three, it was intended to give you a real deep understanding of how bad sin is, how real the nature of your sin is. Look at Romans 7 and verse 13. I want to read that verse. It says in verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it may appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, what's God saying here? He's saying that the law of God is to show you how foul your sin is, how deep it is, how wide it is, how horrible it is. You know, when Jonathan Edwards, he preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he was making those people see how bad their sin was, how foul they were, how wicked they were. And these were very religious people. And God is saying, no, I want you to have an understanding of my law so that you can begin to understand how bad your sin is. I remember when I read the Sermon on the Mount, I was hoping to read words that would make me feel good. I was hoping to read words that would encourage me that I was going to go to heaven and that the Lord loved me. And so I said, I'll read the words of Jesus. I'll read the Sermon on the Mount. But if you think about the Sermon on the Mount, I went there to Israel, and the mount there is just a hill that overlooks the Sea of Galilee. And I was sitting there, and I actually preached on the Sermon on the Mount on that mount. And gave it to the people. But it wasn't, that Sermon on the Mount was not so much words of grace, but words of the law. Jesus was teaching the Israelites, not on Mount Sinai, but on the mount overlooking the Sea of Galilee, the law of God. He said, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But what did Jesus say? He that looketh upon a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, he that hates his brother in his heart, he's already committed murder against his brother. And so what the law of God that Jesus was teaching there is, it began to show how bad sin was and how evil sin was, and it was a wicked thing, and the people began to see that and realize that they were condemned. And that's exactly what it did to me. It showed me how bad my sin was. It's kind of like I have a coal furnace. I used to have a coal furnace. Now I have a gas furnace. And I used to take a broom and go downstairs and sweep the coal dirt. And when I went to sweep it, the dust would come up and get in my nose and cloud my throat and choke me up, you know. And so the law of God is that way. It's like a broom. And the broom goes in to sweep you up. And all it does is it kicks up all the wickedness in your heart. And it shows you how bad your heart is, how foul your heart is. And so God gave the law of God alongside of sin, not to condemn us, originally sin did that, not to justify us, but to show you and I what sin really was, to show you and I the depths of it, the foulness of sin, so that we would understand what a tremendous enemy sin is in our life. But there's also another thing that the law of God does. And I want you to see in verse 11 of chapter 7. Turn there to chapter 7 of Romans, verse 11. I'll read it. It says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. See, it says really that sin deceived me by the commandment. In other words, the law of God is given by God to show you how deceitful your own heart is. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the law of God can show you your heart. It's like an operation, you know. A person wants to, I heard about a lady, she actually got in an accident and she damaged her pelvis. And so she was going to get an x-ray of her pelvis, and it showed that her bones were all broken from that accident. And I remember Bruce and I visited her up in the hospital. That was up at CMC, that lady. And she died shortly after. She didn't die of the pelvis injury. She died of cancer that was all shot through her body. But when the x-ray was shown, because she had the accident, it showed her pelvis had cancer all inside of her insides, and it was terminal cancer, and she was going to die. And so we gave her the gospel, and she prayed to receive Christ. But the point I'm trying to make to you is that the law of God will show you your heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when I began to look at the law of God in the Sermon on the Mount, and I understood the law of God, I began to understand that my heart is deceitful. See, a lot of people, you'll ask them, well, why are you going to heaven? They'll say, well, I got a good heart. Why are you going to heaven? I want to help people. And they look at themselves as though they're really right with God because they have a good heart. They want to help people. What do they need? They need the law of God. They need an x-ray that will show them for what they are. That's why the Bible says the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder soul and spirit of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the word of God, the law of God, will cut to the heart. And the old preachers weren't afraid to use the law of God. They weren't afraid to wound a person and to help a person see that their heart was wicked and deceitful, that the motives are wrong. You see, why do you come to church? If you're not right with God, if you're not saved, you come to church so you can see a boy or see a girl, or you come to church, you know, for your own selfish reasons. You don't come to church for God. You don't come to church for the glory of God. And what happens is the Word of God, when it's preached, the Bible says that everything is naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, God sees right down into the secret places. Sometimes I'll preach and people say, Pastor, who told you? Who's told you what I've been doing? You were informed about what I've been doing. And I say, no, I'm just preaching the Word of God. You see, and the law of God, it will show you what you're doing, and it will show you what you're doing is sinful, and it will show you what you're doing is deceitful, because you think you're pretty good when really you're very wicked, you're very rotten, and it will show you for what you are. And by the way, Pastor Ware used to say the Word of God has a cutting ministry, it has a hurting ministry, and it has a healing ministry. It has a breaking ministry, and it has a building ministry. So when we talk about the law of God, we're talking about God breaking us down. And by the way, sometimes God will let the law break us down before a revival and show us our sin, right? Even for Christians. And Charles G. Finney used to say, you know, the Word of God just needs to go forth and break people down. They need to be broken and see their sin. And that certainly is a need today, because the Bible says, the prophet Jeremiah and other prophets, you've done a wrong thing, preacher. You've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. What does that mean? You've hurt, healed. Listen, they never got lost. How can they be found when they never got lost? They never got saved because they don't even know that they're lost and condemned. They just took Jesus on, like some of these preachers, Joel Osteen, you know, he's all positive preaching, you know, he's how to live a better life, and it might make you feel good, that's all right, as far as it goes, but it won't save your soul, because Joel Osteen won't get you lost, amen, because why, he doesn't preach the law of God, he doesn't preach on the heart being deceitful above all things, neither did Roberta Shuler when he was preaching, and neither did Norman Vincent Peale. See, they gave you the power of positive thinking. Paul is saying, no, listen to me. I've been talking to you about being justified. I've been talking to you about the foundation of your assurance of salvation, and it wasn't by the law that you were justified. But wait a minute, the law does have a purpose. It's not to justify you. No, it won't do that. But the law has a purpose. It was intended to make you know what sin is, to increase your knowledge of what sin is. And by the way, we need to know what sin is from God's standpoint. We need the Word of God. We need the law of God to tell us what sin is. And then he said, not only that, but it was intended to show you how bad your sin is, how foul your sin is, and how evil it is in God's sight. And then also it was intended to show you how deceitful your heart is. It's desperately wicked. In fact, look at Paul, the great apostle, and the Bible says that he tried to keep the Ten Commandments, and he thought he was pretty good. And then he got to the Tenth Commandment. Does anybody know, one of the men tell me what commandment got him? Yes. Thou shalt not covet. And what that means is, you shall not desire something that God forbids you to desire. It's to have a desire that goes against God. And he began to get to that last commandment. He said, I haven't killed, you know, I haven't committed adultery. I'm not stealing. I'm not bearing false witness. I'm not taking the name of the Lord my God in vain. I'm honoring my parents. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. And then he got to that, thou shalt not have any forbidden desires in your heart. And he started realizing, whoa, I've deceived myself. I've got forbidden desires. And he started seeing the forbidden desires. And then he tried to get rid of them, and they pop up again. And he tried to get rid of them, they pop up again. And so what the law was doing, it was exposing his sinful heart. You need that in your life. You need to see sin in your life. But you're not going to get it out of your life by the law, are you? You're not going to clean up your life by the law. You need a new life to overcome the law of God and the sin, and I should say the sin that's in your heart. And so the law was intended to show you the deceitfulness of your heart. And then it was intended to show you, and this is very important, that your nature is against God's nature. God's nature is one thing we're not. See, a lot of people think, oh, I know God, I serve God, I love God. You have to show them the law of God, that they don't love God, that they don't serve God, that they hate God. The Bible says that you are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can you be subject to the law of God. And so I remember when God began to show me that my nature was against God's nature. Go to Romans 7, verse 14, and I want to read that verse to you that exposes that. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, he's not talking about being a carnal Christian. When he says I'm carnal, that's not a carnal Christian. That's not a Christian at all. Don't ever think that is. Chapter 7 is not dealing with a Christian man. It's dealing with, listen to me, it's dealing with the law of God, the function of the law of God, the purpose of the law of God. Well, you say, what's it trying to show you? It's trying to show you that the unsaved man is carnal. That means of flesh. He's of flesh. He's not of spirit. And so what it shows that individual is that you're a slave to sin. You're sold and you're in slavery to sin. Who sold you down the river? Adam. And you were born a slave of sin. You were born under condemnation. You were born with a, listen to me, you were born with a nature that's against God. Ephesians 2, we're children of wrath, even as others. God's nature and our nature are contrary one to the other. That's why it's important. Have you ever been born again, teenager? Have you ever been born again, child, where you got a new nature? I mean, I still got my old nature, but I remember when that's all I had was the old nature. And you know what God showed me as I began to look at the law of God? That my nature was so much so that if it would, it would spit right in God's face. You see, I've been to Israel, and you see these Orthodox Jews, and they look so holy, and they're dressed in their holy garments, and they're worshiping God and praying. But those same people, very religious people, had the law of God. God's chosen people, yes. But when God showed up, what'd they do? They spit right in his face. What'd they do? They took his beard and they pulled his beard out. What'd they do? They blindfolded him, punched him, and said, "Who hit you?" These were the religious leaders, the holy men. You see, this is what God exposes. People can't believe the Holocaust. People can't believe what's going on in America today, in the upper echelons of our government. Terrible wickedness. It's being covered over. But if God would rip back the veil, it would show us the nature of man is contrary to God. That's why there can be a Holocaust, why people were killed, because every one of us is capable of the worst sins possible. We are totally depraved. We might not be utterly depraved. Utterly depraved is God just letting you go and giving you up to your own heart's desires, and you would get so rotten and so bad that your sin would be reprehensible and horrible. But you see, God restrains our sin. But the law of God gives us a look into our heart and says, you don't love God. You don't love his word. You don't love God. And you're not going to heaven. You're condemned to hell because of that. Because it's like cold water and hot grease. Boom, there's a reaction. And so many, listen to me, many, many people that come to church, that hear the preaching of the word of God, they are not saved. They are not justified. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Why? Because people really never came face to face with the law of God. They never came face to face with the God that gave the law and saw that their nature is against God's nature. Have you ever come to that place where you realize your nature is against God's nature? You don't love God. You can't keep the law of God. You don't really want to keep the law of God. And so you need a new nature. You need a new life. And so that is another thing that the law was intended to do. Another thing that the law is intended to do, and this is even stronger, the law actually stirs up your sin to lash out against it. When you're given the law of God, it stirs up your sin to lash out against it. Now, that's why I always had a hard time with that. If the law does that, then why does it say in Timothy that the law of God is made for unsaved people to control them? That's because the law of God stirs you up to lash out against it, but the law has penalties. And if you break the law, you're going to be punished. And it's the punishments that control people that are unsaved. It's kind of like a lion tamer, you know. He controls that lion, but that lion still wants to do bad, you know. But the lion tamer's whip controls that lion because he's afraid of what he's going to get. As long as people are afraid, the law controls them through fear of punishment. And that's the purpose of it. And that's why there's government, and that's why there's punishment of evil doing, because the punishments, the sanctions of the law kind of control society, or else it would go crazy. That's why defunding the police is insane. That's why just getting rid of the punishments for doing evil is insane. Forgiving all debt, you know, just don't have to pay college debt, don't have to pay landlord debt. Well, the landlord going to pay for that. You know, the people are going to take that and go to the bank with it. Why? Because a person that's not saved, the only thing that controls them is the punishments of the law. Now, if you're saved, you're not controlled just by punishment. You're controlled by the love of God in your heart and the love of the Lord. And when you sin, you're not just sinning against the law, you're sinning against a loving Savior who's delivered you. And so that has a control. And I would rather rent to a born-again Christian that's taught to the Word of God than an unsaved person, because you always got to be threatening that person. You get tired of it after a while. It gets tiring. But thank God for the gospel and how the gospel can change our hearts. There are some people, they come to church, and young people, it's all punishment, 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 punishment. But there are other people, they want to serve God. They love God. Why? They've been born again, not by the law, but by the grace of God. That's why the Bible said where sin did abound, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, grace did much more abound. All the law can do is show you what sin is. All the law can do is show you how bad sin is. All the law can do is show you how your nature is way against God's nature, but it can't give you a new nature. It can't give you a new life. It can't give you love for God. It can show you you hate God. It can. And by the way, people need to see that. Amen? They need to see that. And if they're going to hear the good news of the gospel, they need to see the condemnation of the law of God. And even a child of God, we need to see our sin in light of the Word of God. But then we need to take, for every look we take at ourselves, we need to take 10,000 looks at Jesus Christ. And we need to see the one that not only has paid for our sin, but the one who gives us the grace to live for Him and to love Him and to serve Him. But again, number six, the law was intended to incite the sin that controls us to lash out against God. You say, well, where is that? Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, that's we were unsaved, the motions of sin. Do you know sin moves? Sin has motions. The motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members. What are you talking about? Sin, when sin sees God's law, it rebels. That's why if you have unsaved children, and you start telling them about the Word of God, going to stir them up to lash out. They might joke about it. They might mock it. But it's going to stir them up to lash out. Why? The motions of sin that are by the law. You have somebody in church. They're not saved. When they hear the word of God, it's going to move them to lash out. Remember when you weren't saved and you were coming to church and I would preach and he would get moved like, that's the devil. They're up there preaching. See, because the nature is against God. But if you've been saved, then you can agree that that's sin, and I've got sin in my life, but thank God I got a new nature. I got a new life, and so the motions of sin, yes, they're by the law, but the grace of God, it's kind of like when you're sweeping that dust on my coal floor, and the law is like the broom that stirs it up. Well, what is the Holy Spirit and the grace of God like? Like a spray bottle of water. You spray it on that dust, and now you can sweep it up. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does in your life. But there's one more thing I want to say tonight about this law of God. When he says the law entered, that the offense would abound. It was intended in your life, the law of God, listen to this, as a schoolmaster to bring you to Jesus. This is what Galatians 3:22 says. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterward be revealed. You know what? When you're under the law, all you can see is your sin. All you can see is you're condemned. All you can see is that you can't do what God wants you to do. But then the faith being revealed is when God shows you Jesus Christ, the one that paid for that sin, the one that has a gift to give you, and then you can have the grace of God. Because, you see, the law will show you how bad your sin is. But no matter how bad your sin is, the blood of Jesus Christ is able to take care of it. No matter how deep your sin is, the blood of Jesus Christ can go deeper and cleanse that sin away. And so we're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, listen, to show a person their sin, to show a person the depths of their sin through the law. And the law becomes a schoolmaster to do what? To lead that person to trust Jesus Christ. Now listen, you can do too much of the law. And there are people, they're struggling and they're just condemned by the law and condemned and they're being beat up by the law and they need to go to Christ. Amen. Get them to Jesus. Lead them to, point them to Jesus. But you can also use too little of the law where you just say, well, I'm going to lead them to Jesus, but you don't tell them about the law. And then how can they be saved from their sin? They don't even know what their sin is. They don't even know what it's like to be lost. And so you need to use the law of God in your work to lead a person to Christ. It's uncomfortable. In some senses, I don't like to do it when I'm in that part of the gospel. Because I tell them, I'll say, I told you I was giving you the good news. Now I'm giving you nothing but bad news. But you know what? It's your duty to do that. God has made the law come in there because of sin and the deceitfulness of sin, that they need the law of God. And sometimes we need convicting preaching, amen? And other times we need encouraging preaching. It's just a matter of having wisdom to be wise, but you need to use the law of God as a schoolmaster to show somebody their sin, and then when you see they understand that, to turn them to the solution, which is faith in Jesus Christ. And no matter how bad that sin is or how deep that sin is, I'm glad that Jesus cures it and we're saved by the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You're not justified by keeping the law. You can never get victory over sin in your life. Through keeping the law, you need the grace of God, and thank God we have it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. All right, let's bow for prayer tonight. We've been talking about